Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God in the last show. We kind of ran through the Ten Commandments rather quickly. And of course, the first one has to do with having no other gods before you, which those gods are ruling judges, the ones who have the right to make law and tell you what is right and what is wrong and regulate your life. They're lawmakers. You know, a lot of people think that they live in a republic, and actually they don't. They live in a democracy that was created in a series of republics called states, and created by those republics, those states, not by the people, but by the states. And that democracy elects not representatives, but lawmakers. They're lawmakers. You're in a democracy. The United States federal government is an indirect democracy in a republic. That's what its creed says. It has a creed because it has a religious aspect to the government today. As a matter of fact, it is the government that does most of the religious services in society today. What is religion? Religion is how you take care of the needy of your society. Early Christians did this by faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. In other words, you contributed to a minister who took care of the needy of your society, and that was a very localized process. In other words, 10 families, a family being an elder of a family, the oldest patriarch of that family usually, and all his sons, all his married sons, and his unmarried daughters. That's a family. And that might be 20, 50, even 100 people. And he is the elder of that family. And 10 such families as that would gather together and pick a minister. And they would contribute to that minister. Their sons would contribute to their father. That would be honor thy father, fatten thy father. And the father would contribute to the minister and his family. And his whole family was a ministerial family. And they would take care of the needs and needy of their society. And they would report to 10 elders what they were doing, bearing witness to what they were doing by word and deed, and they would be supported in their rightly dividing the bread from house to house, taking care of the social welfare of Christians from house to house in faith, hope, and charity, and according to the perfect law of liberty. They would gather once a week on Sunday, not as their day of rest. Their day of rest was the Sabbath. Most Christians, all the way across the board, even many of the Gentiles, took a Sabbath off as a day of rest. Sunday was the first day of the week, and they gathered to take care of business. And that business was to worship God in faith, hope, and charity by feeding his sheep and taking care. So they would gather together and they would make their prayers if they had needs. And those that had shared with those that did not have enough. Now that's right out of the explanation, the apology of Justin, 150 years into the millennium, which was be like 100 years after Christ. He's explaining what they were doing. This is 150 years before Constantine. The early church was taking care of all the social welfare of early Christians. They would not go to the temples of Rome to get benefits. They would not go to the Corban of the Pharisees, because they knew that made the word of God to none effect, and they would not go to the Corban of Rome, because they knew that also would make the word of God to none effect. They went to church to get the benefits of society, and they only took the benefits that were freely given. And in thanksgiving, which is the Eucharist of Christ. They did not give out a crumb of bread on your tongue. They gave you a loaf of bread or a sack of bread so that you could get through the week without starvation and your children would eat. And if you couldn't make it to the Sunday services after your day of rest, and you couldn't make it to the first day of the week to the government office of the church, they would send out your deacon to bring those supplies to you if you had need. And those that had shared with those that didn't have. Today, you don't want to live by faith. You want to live by force. Not like John the Baptist preached, not like Jesus preached, not like Paul preached. You want to live like Nimrod preached. You want to force your neighbor to provide you with your daily bread. And so therefore you pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, that they provide you with your daily bread at the expense of your neighbor. So you give them the power to take from your neighbor so that you can have these benefits. And you say you're saved because you believe in Jesus. You don't even believe in Jesus. You don't even know Jesus. Your churches are an abomination. There's no daily sacrifice for one another, much less the red heifer, which is another whole story. It has nothing to do with the color red or nothing to do with the heifer. But, and I'll just leave you in suspense on that, but it's clear that if you're praying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other to obtain benefits from Social Security to unemployment to welfare to what have you, you're not a Christian. You're not doing what Christ said. You're seeking the Corban of the Pharisees. A system. The Corban of the Pharisees was a system of sacrifice where you were compelled to sacrifice. Scribes wrote down what you paid in. What you paid in was determined by the Sanhedrin through statutory limitations and obligations that were placed on you because you went and got the baptism of Herod and were registered at the temple in a system of Social Security or social welfare that, according to Jesus, made the Word of God to none effect. So how could you be making the Word of God to none effect and still believe in Jesus? You couldn't be. You don't even know Jesus. You're not even doing what he said. You're not even trying to do what he said. You're walking around saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. You don't even know what you believe. It's not what Jesus believed. Jesus believed that system made the Word of God to none effect. You believe it's okay. Because I accept the Jesus. You are under a strong delusion. You haven't accepted the Jesus I know. Now, some of you have a twinge of conscience about all this and are starting to put the pieces together. So what are you going to do about it? You got to come together with other people. You got to find other elders, and gather together with them. And that's, of course, what we're doing. And as I said in the last show, we're starting to give out our newsletter. And we will still send out the Kingdom newsletter, but it will just remind you as to where you can read our newsletter, which will be at preparingyou.com/wiki/newsletter. And that will take you to that. As a matter of fact, we can actually create a program where if you just type in preparingyou newsletter, that it goes to preparingyouwiki newsletter. And the different ministers throughout the country and around the world that are actually seeking the Kingdom of God and His righteousness are going to be contributing little articles and tidbits of information and things that they discover during the week and putting them there in the newsletter. And the site is constructed by you, the people, and we'll have that there in archive form as well as in the current newsletter, and you can go and read it. But we're not just here for your entertainment. So what you really need to be doing is gathering together. Not forsaking the gathering of the gather, but gathering together in faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty, by forming congregations. Now, most of the congregations are spread out right now. And that's okay. That's okay to start with. And then when you find more people in your area, those through the process of mitosis almost, there will be a splitting of these cell group congregations, which are home group congregations. And they form over here, and then they form over here, and then 10 over here, and then 10 over there. And we do everything in church, from saving seeds to teaching gardening to teaching health to teaching all kinds of skills. And there's many, many to learn, and we're way behind the eight ball on what we need to learn. And that's why we've created the Preparing You site, along with the His Holy Church site, is that we have to turn the precepts of Christ into physical action. We can't just say, we have to be doers of the word. We have to care about one another enough to come together and help one another learn what we need to learn, so that we all become self-sufficient enough that we are not dependent upon one another, but yet still come together, not for what we can get from each other, but for what we can bring to each other, what we can give. Because, see, we have to come for the purposes of serving others. Now, we're going to put together this whole series. We kind of did a series on the mysteries, and we're really, this is a continuation of the mystery series. But we're also doing a series on the power to choose, the power to change our choice. And most of the power exercised by government today, especially the federal government, is based on contracts with government and the people. That's between the two. Direct contracts. There are both executed contracts that are clearly, and people like to immediately say, oh yeah, but I didn't understand the terms of this contract, and you have to have full disclosure. There is full disclosure. You know, it's like Social Security. If you have a Social Security number, you have a contract with the United States. Like I said, they had this contract with America, the Republicans did back in 1994, and it was pretty simple, and most of it ever came about, but that you have a contract, and one of them is your contract for Social Security. That's a contract. And the terms are found in the Social Security Act and in the administrative rules of the Social Security Administration. How many of you have read those rules? How many of you have read the original Social Security Act? How many of you have studied law enough to understand the ramifications of that act and the membership in that agency that you have by applying for a number? And you say, well, I didn't apply, my folks did. Well, they have the right to. Don't they have the right to sell you into bondage? They did in the old days. They could sell you into apprenticeship. They could buy an apprenticeship, and you have to go work for the apprentice as an apprentice. For, you know, the master. You have to honor your father and your mother, and that's what they did. They said, well, in order for us to get benefits, we got to go get a number for you so that we can deduct you so that we don't have to pay so much taxes. You see? So they sold you. But of course, if you read our Call No Man on Earth Father, we go through this whole process. This system has been around in law for thousands of years. I mean, literally thousands of years. And we show you, back at the time of Christ, they had the exact same system. And there were three things required for you to become a child of the state. Three things. And we go through those. And we're not going to go through those now. You can go read those articles, and we have recordings on it, everything. But the point is that you have these clearly executed contracts. The terms are well published. You just didn't go read them. That doesn't mean they weren't published. They're published. They're available. I went and read them. They're not hard to find. Anyway, but you just are too lazy. You're just too busy. You're too stupid. I don't know. I don't know why you didn't do it. Well, I do. And I sympathize. I have to be hard on you. But the fact is, you need to see you screwed up. And stop blaming things on the government. The government's just going to... I mean, it's like blaming the situation in Israel on Saul. The people rejected God and elected Saul and gave him power, and the power corrupted him. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So, you elect the government, you give it all kinds of power, and it corrupts the government, and you're surprised? Why are you so surprised? You screwed up. You rejected God and gave power to government. You have strange gods before you now, and we call it government. They make the law. They make the rules. They're the ones you must bow down and serve. You created that. Now, I know you didn't do it by yourself, and I know, yeah, your parents are partly to blame, but all you had to do is repent. If you guys had repented 20 years ago, the whole face of the earth would have changed. But you didn't. And the fact is, most of you will not repent. You'll be sorry, but you won't repent. You know, those of you who will repent need to come together and work together. And you need to know where you went wrong. And not that you can just change it overnight, but you can start changing your way. Because we're going to talk about principles. But in order to fill up this airtime, we're going to have to talk about some of the technicalities of this. So there are these executed contracts where you directly apply for benefits. And you sign up. And you start using the number as an adult. And you go under this authority, this contractual arrangement for benefits. Your legal guardians have sold you into this system in order to obtain benefits for them. And so now you do the same thing. But there's also participation in hypothecation, and that's another whole realm. But I mentioned it here to begin with. Let's go on back to all these come in a variety of forms and from numerous sources most people are completely unaware of or do not understand. They do not understand. But then that's why when they go into a court, the first thing they ask is, do you understand? Because you're going to say, oh yeah, I understand. Well, you probably don't. But you said it, so now they can get to move forward. So anyway, many people think, and they probably should be in court because they probably violated because they did not seek righteousness. They probably violated their obligational responsibilities because they did not seek righteousness. And there's all kinds of guys out there selling packets and schemes and plans that are not righteous. And that's not what Christ was doing. He was telling you a righteous way to become free and obtain that perfect law of liberty, that liberty in which Christ set people free, but not without assuming responsibilities. And that many Christians today who say they believe in Jesus do not accept those responsibilities. And so therefore they are not really saved. They're just deluded. Many people think that the contract between the citizens and the government is the Constitution, which created the United States. The Constitution was not between the people, but between the states, which created an additional or external government we call the federal government. The people were not a party to the Constitution. And we that's clear. The Supreme Court's ruled that. We have whole articles up on that. We have a book that covers that. Contracts, covenants, and constitutions, the people were not a party to it. Now, they may be a party to it now, but they're a party to it through the agencies in which they apply for benefits from, and other means as well, which is that participation and hypothecation. People have become a part of the programs and agencies and even some of the corporations of the United States. You sign a contract with the LA Rams and they trade you, you got to go work somewhere else or forfeit all kinds of money. So, you know, there's all kinds of contracts. And some of them are more subtle than others. People have changed in their relationship to the United States so that they have become a party, but not a controlling party, a subject party. Originally, citizens were referred to as sovereign in court cases with the United States by the judges, that the people were sovereign, individually sovereign. And now there's a sovereign movement and everything, but most of these sovereign citizens don't understand what they're doing. And they're just getting it because they're not approaching it from a righteous viewpoint. They think that they're lawmakers. And they think because they claim something, it makes it so. They have to do it righteously. And we're back in the bondage of Egypt. So we need to look at how did Moses set those people free? He didn't say, okay, you guys all claim your sovereigns and start doing whatever you darn well please. No, that's not the way you do it. And that's not the way Jesus did it. Anyway, they have changed by their own actions or their inaction the nature of their citizenship. That's what you've done. While the Constitution has been altered through amendments and real increase in government control and power has come through the Constitution's guarantee of your right to make agreements and a system of courts to enforce those agreements with corporate entities and agencies who operate on behalf of the United States sometimes. And this is clear. Way back in the Judiciary Act of 1789, it says, the suits in equity shall not be sustained in either the courts of the United States in any case where plain, adequate, and complete remedy may be had at law. So equity is not law. It follows the law. But that's what you're in. Is most of the time you're in equity courts. Administrative courts, and you're bound in these administrative courts, and that's where your remedy is, because you've entered into relationships where there is no remedy at law. And this is what I saw and why I wrote the first chapter of the Covenants of the Gods, which is Holy Matrimony versus Marriage, which everybody should go and read, because that's a contract. When you go get a state marriage, that's a contract with the state, and they define it as such. It's a three-party contract between you, your spouse, and the state. And it gives them power and jurisdiction over that union. But they already have a certain jurisdiction where you're not even supposed to get married without permission of the state, because the state has already become your father, because the state provides you with health, education, and welfare. You see, there's a repercussion of going to public school besides learning all the nonsense that they're going to teach you, all the false and inadequate history they're going to teach you. They're teaching you how to be good servants of the system. They're not teaching you how to be free men. They don't even want you to know about that. And we cover this in our article on Power to Change. You're going to see, and we'll have connections to other articles which show you the layer upon layer of this. You know, if you go and you look in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, it says, no state shall pass any, and I'm skipping some parts of this so you get to the critical parts, pass any law impairing the obligation of contracts. You see, your right still exists. Somebody has the right to decide how you're going to serve that right and the responsibility that goes along with it. Somebody else gets to decide how you're going to exercise that right, because you've created obligations of contract as terms of the contract in order to obtain benefits. But the really interesting thing, if you read our Not So Secure Socialism, Not So Secure Socialism or Social Security, you read that article and you see that they put in clauses that they don't have to supply you with benefits, but they can keep taking from you. It's a really bad contract. You shouldn't have signed it. Good lawyer would look at that and say, you know, this really isn't a good contract. But nobody looked at it. And the guy who devised the system wrote books about what he was doing. And there were people out there speaking against it, but some of them sold out. There were actually secret meetings. Secret because we don't know what went on at the meeting. We know the meeting took place between Eleanor Roosevelt and a particular opponent of Social Security. And he conceded. He withdrew his objection. So whatever the deal was in there, that would be interesting to know, but it was secret enough that I couldn't tell you. But I see evidence of that, what took place at that meeting. But anyway, we also see it says Congress shall have the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations. And this is the other part, because, you know, most of the ownership that you have of property is based on a legal title, which is a division. It's a trust title, a division of title, of legal title on one hand, equitable title on the other. And so now all ownership of property is by government suffrage, because you don't really own it. You own it by permission. So you can't be in a republic. A republic, you own the land you live on. The state doesn't own it. You own the means of production. You see, that's another thing. Capitalism, people think, well, this is a capitalist country. No, you haven't been a capitalist country for over 100 years. You don't even operate in capitalism. Capitalism is you own the means of production. You own your land. You don't own your land anymore. You have legal title. Legal title does not include the beneficial interest. The beneficial interest is the right to use the property. You don't own the right to use the property. Therefore, you're not dealing in capitalism. Your money is a debt system, money. It's not capital. It's debtism. It's not capitalism. You haven't had capitalism in this country for 100 years. We have articles up at News and Views on that. But anyway, to regulate you in commerce with foreign nations among several states, goes on with in Indian tribes, etc. It's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3. So you can be regulated in commerce, and your obligations created by the contracts you make with the agencies of government shall not be impaired. In other words, they will enforce those contracts. You have to pay in. You have to give to Caesar what is Caesar. You have to fulfill those obligations. And we, at times, because we write about these things, people think that we're trying to say that you don't have those obligations. You do. That it's with the unrighteous mammon. But you have those obligations. But if you want to be free, you have to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means you have to seek to come together with others and start living according to the perfect law of liberty. You can't just instantly snap your fingers and become free. So anyway, we're going to talk more about how you got into this mess so that you can find your way back again. You see, because through covetousness you've been made merchandise, for the reverse of covetousness you can be made free. And that's what Christ's message was. And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe in Christ. Anyway, we'll be right back to Keys of the Kingdom. So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So anyway, we're regulated today in commerce because of hypothecations of property. We don't own anything. We don't own our land. We don't own our cars. You have legal title. Legal title does not include ownership. You don't own yourselves. You have a legal right to work, which is a legal obligation to work. And so therefore, your right to decide is heavily regulated in equity, because there is no remedy for you at common law or in the law of nature, nature's God, because you made covenants with men who said they would be your lawmakers. And you made those covenants in order to obtain benefits. And those men exercised authority one over the other. And Jesus said, you are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other and call themselves benefactors. It's not to be that way with you. You are to come together to serve one another. So you have done the opposite of what Jesus said, because you didn't really believe Jesus. You believed in an artificial Jesus that is made up by the modern church, and therefore you're not really saved. And in order to obtain a plethora of benefits, you have signed all kinds of agreements, got all kinds of memberships that carry with them all kinds of obligations in equity and in commerce, and therefore now you are regulated. And this came about because of a tremendous error in our thinking. The government is not violating the constitutional prohibitions that we think they are violating, or we would like to think they are violating. Through our applications for these benefits, we have failed to retain access to our rights. We have failed to maintain our responsibilities and fulfill our obligations one to another, to love one another as we have been loved by Christ. We didn't come together to serve. We came together to devour our neighbor, to eat our neighbor's flesh. And we have dozens of quotes that we could show you that warn against this, and that we would do this, and that we have done this in the past, and we are doing it again. We are devouring not only our children, but our grandchildren in debt every time we apply for a benefit from a government that is bankrupt. And all your social welfare systems are bankrupt because they're all part of one treasury, and that treasury is bankrupt. You're worried about balancing the budget while you're still applying for benefits, because you don't really love your neighbor as yourself, or your neighbor's children. You have clearly failed yourselves, your neighbor, and your posterity. You have done this because you wish to enrich yourself with benefits at the expense of your neighbor. And you think you can do this with impunity. You have become a human resource in the process. The Bible warns and says that you would be trapped. You would be snared. You would become merchandise. Paul says this. David says this. I don't get how you didn't get this. Your churches should have been warning you day after day after day after day, but they did not. Back in the movie Moses, Cecil B. DeMille asked the question, are men the property of the state, or are they free souls under God? This battle continues throughout the world today. It certainly does. And through covetousness, neighbor oppresses neighbor, and all are made subject to the pater patria, the father of the nation. These conscripted lawmakers that are the gods of your world and the judges they appoint govern men as they have done throughout the ages, from Ur to Pharaoh's Egypt, from Israel's kings to Caesar's of Rome. These governments are not ordained by God. They are allowed by God to punish the wicked. Who are the wicked? The wicked are those who covet their neighbor's goods. In the book Covenants of the Gods, we go through this step by step and show you all the layers of these contracts that you make, these covenants you make with these gods of the world. But there were false prophets also amongst the people, according to 2 Peter 2. Even as there shall be false teachers amongst you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, denying Jesus as a Lord, as a ruler of a kingdom. The apostles were saying there is another king, one Jesus. But you are out there electing presidents to rule over your neighbors so that you can have benefits. Free education, free health care. And you call yourself a Christian. Are you kidding? You call yourself a Jew. You can't be. You call yourself a Muslim? No way. You're liars. I know it's because you've been lied to and brought under this strong delusion. And I'm not picking on you individually, but I have to speak about it in these terms so that you wake up and repent. Those of you who are repenting, glory be to God. But those of you who will not repent, expect fire and brimstone to come down from heaven. You already see that the beast, the image of the beast, can bring fire down from heaven. We've seen that country after country after country. Rain fire from heaven. But now the wrath of God is coming. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction, condemnation. And many shall follow their pernicious ways of coveting their neighbor's goods through the agency of government, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now as a long time lingereth not. And their damnation slumbereth not. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, do you know how? Do you know how this works? You need to know how this works. You know, I mean, you go back to Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor his car, nor his truck, nor anything that is thy neighbor. If you're sending your kids to public school, how do you get the money to build that school? You threaten your neighbor that if he does not pay for that school, you're going to take his house away from him through the agency of the government, because he failed to pay the tax to provide you with free education. Is that not what this commandment is talking about not doing? And yet you do it. Every one of your churches say that's okay. Now, I'm not saying you don't have the tax obligation. I'm not trying to save you from having to pay in. I'm telling you the process by which you have become enslaved. You have chosen to enslave your neighbor so that you could have benefits, so you yourself will be snared, enslaved. What should have been for your welfare has become a snare. That's what's happened. And that's why we see in Habakkuk, woe to him that covereth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and have sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood. You have built your cities with the blood of your neighbors and established a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in their very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. You deserve what you've gotten. You know, this is not even separate from Paul. Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." How can you tell me you love Christ and still covet your neighbor's goods? Now, go back to that Exodus 20, 1 through 17. And you can read Exodus 34, 12 through 15 and Exodus 23, 32 and 31. But it says, let's take bits and pieces out of that. Brought thee out of Egypt, where the government owned you, 20% of your labor anyway. I mean, how much does it own of your labor now? Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That was bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not covet. And anything that is thy neighbor, anything that is thy neighbor's, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods, so that you can get their ruling judges to take from your neighbor to provide you with benefits. Romans 13:9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How is it loving your neighbor to threaten to take his house away if he does not pay for your education or the education of your child? That's not love. That's not living by the perfect law of liberty. That's not living by faith, hope, and charity. That is living by the sword. And you have gone under the sword because you have chosen to do this. Now you have to start educating your children yourselves, either through groups or individuals who are... I mean, we used to have most of the people in America until the beginning of the 19th century were educated by private funding, not by public education. And even the first public education was only partially funded by the public. Much of it was done by private funding. I mean, the schools in this community were actually roofing a school, an old schoolhouse, one-room schoolhouse. Much of the money that went into building that school, it was built on private land, was provided by locals, not by tax dollars. The teacher was often housed in local housing. Does the world have altars whereof we should have no right to eat? Yes. The civic altars that force their neighbor to contribute. Can we eat the meat of one neighbor when blood is still in it? Can we covet our neighbor's goods and feign righteousness? You know, I have a section in the book Higher Liberty called The Covetous Prayer. We talk about a great deal of this. You have rights antecedent to all earthly governments, rights that cannot be repealed or restrained by human laws, rights derived from the great legislator of the universe. You know, that's a quote from John Adams. You have those things, and the government can't restrain those. But you can, through the obligation of contract, bind yourself into obligations where you don't get to exercise those rights or access to those rights. You may sell yourself a slave to the gods of the world by making consent to obtain benefits at the expense of your neighbor gets to take from you for his own benefit. You no longer live in a free society because you did not set your neighbor free. You say, well, I paid in and I want it back. Forgive them. Say, you owe me nothing or you will never be free. But then you're going to have to come together to provide those benefits that you once looked to the government to give you by faith, hope, and charity. Because my people hath forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in the way from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. That's Jeremiah 18:15. That's what you're doing. You're walking in a path not cast up. And we can go through one quote after another. Luke 12:15, 16:14, or in Acts 20:33. All the prohibitions against coveting. Romans 1:29, Romans 7:7, Romans 13:9. All Paul. 1 Corinthians 6:10, no thieves, no covetous, no drunkards, no revilers, no extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. No covetous. Your whole system is based on coveting your neighbor's goods. All those benefits. 1 Corinthians 12:31, by covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show unto you a more excellent way. And that's what we're talking about. Taking back your responsibilities of caring for one another in true love for your neighbor. You can do this. It's not hard, but you got to come together to do it. And that's why we created thelivingnetwork.org, so that you could actually find other people who want to do this and start coming together with them. Coming together to serve, not just for what you can get out of it. Selfish need not apply. Zombies need not apply. We have our whole article on that. Interesting, fun to do. But, you know, if we go back to looking at some of these other maxims of law, protectio trahit subjectionem. Subjectio protectionem. And that's Coke. He writes in Latin. You'd be amazed on how much of Black's Law Dictionary is in Latin. Protection draws to it subjection. Subjection, protection. If you want the government to protect you and provide you with all these benefits and secure you from destitution, then you will become subject to that government. And it will destitute you. Like it says in Samuel 8, it will take and take and take and take and take. And it should. It is there to punish the wicked, and you've been wicked, so you should be punished. I have no problem with government. I have a problem with those of you who covet your neighbor's goods and say you are Christians, who look to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other and pray to them for benefits that you know comes at the expense of your neighbor, and then claim you love Christ. How can you do that? You can't. As long as we look to government to solve our problems, we will always suffer tyranny. That was William Pitt back in the 1700s. I mean, the early Americans knew that quote like the back of their hand. Modern Americans, they just keep looking to government. So you're going to change the government and make it better? No, you have to change. You have asked the government to protect your family from ignorance, from health costs, from disabilities, from old age, from unemployment, from destitution, and 1,000 other things. And they have got a grip on you because of that. Contract is law between the parties having received their consent. If you have accepted the benefit in any way, and almost all of you have, your consent is given. Whether you understood it or not, your consent is given. You got a lot to learn. You have to learn what it means to be free, how to be free, who can be trusted in a system of freedom and liberty to be there for you. This comes through practice, through casting your bread upon the waters in hopes that it returns back to you. This is what it's been about from the beginning. This is the law of the prophet, the way of the prophets, the way of the ancients. Your present state of bondage is a result of hundreds of contracts that you and your parents have been signing for more than a century. The present state as subjects instead of free people has been a long time in coming. Your perception of history, your perception of morality has degenerated because of an apostate church and a government out of control. And I don't care what country you live in. This is the way of human nature. If you will not go the ways of God, you must go out of the presence of God and do something different. And what you will do will be what you see has been done. Now is time to repent, turn around, go the other way. To really start believing in Christ enough to become a doer of the word. To follow in his ways. To strive as he said to strive. To seek as he said to seek. To seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness by coming together in congregations that actually become health, education, and welfare for your society, which will be different than the society of the world, which will fall and fail because it is the unrighteous mammon, the unrighteous trust of your wealth. Now, if you go back to, we have an article on schools, and we mentioned the Reese Commission. It talks about they wanted to change the way in which Americans viewed history way back in 1908. And they gathered together with certain philanthropic organizations to rewrite history books. And they actually, they name them. Guggenheim Foundation and others. And then we approached Charles and Mary Beard, and they've tried to defame them. Their books have been removed. I've got a few of them that I got from libraries that were throwing them out, which gave you a better view of history. They did it simply by deleting certain things from history so that you wouldn't know them anymore. Well, we don't want you to think about that. We don't want you to think about that. We don't want you to look behind the curtain. We want you to look over here, and we want to think about this, like taxation without representation. That's not what it says. It says taxation without consent in the Declaration of Independence. Taxation without representation, there's no reference to that hardly anywhere in the literature of the time. But taxation without consent is clearly written. But of course, they don't need your consent anymore because you already consented when you said, could you take from my neighbor so that I can have a free education? Can you take from my neighbor so that I can have health care? Will you take from my neighbor so that, I can have all these benefits? And they said, sure, but we get to take from you too. Oh, yeah, but I bet I got some rich neighbors and I want you to take from the rich. It doesn't say thou shalt not covet unless your neighbor's rich. Thou shalt not covet, period. That's it. It says, this process in the ignorance of the American people has led, the Supreme Court in like U.S. versus Minker to state, because of what appears to be lawful command on the surface, many citizens, because of their respect for what only appears to be a law, are cunningly coerced into waiving their rights due to ignorance. Now, the ignorance, whose fault is that? Because they have published what they were doing. When I wrote Holy Matrimony versus Marriage, I took it was originally just a pamphlet, and it became the chapter of the book, The Covenants of the Gods. And I wrote it 3 months after I had this epiphany, and these law books show up on my doorstep, and I'm just paging through them, and all of a sudden, wow, 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 wow. All of a sudden, it's just like it was connecting the dots. And this was all because I finally submitted and admitted that I didn't understand. And I gave it to my dad, and he said, you're right. My dad was a lawyer, top lawyer. He says, you're right, but they're not going to like you. Well, I don't care about that. Well, I may someday, but I love you, and I want you to know the truth. And that's why we're here. To tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Until then, peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 877-207-9640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.